Good morning, good morning. This is the old Trailblazer. Well, it may not be morning where you are. We own a bunch of stations in the morning early. But wherever you are, we're happy to be with you. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from our studios here in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. First Baptist Church of Algiers in New Orleans, Louisiana, where the old Trailblazer is a pastor here, giving out the gospel day in and day out. Another message from God's Word. And we're happy to be with you folks. I wish you would sit down and write me. We own several new stations, different times of the night, different times early there in the morning, like up there in Cincinnati, Ohio, and some of those places that many of you truckers hear me there on the out on the I-55 or I-70 or I-95 going up the country with a load. And it's we like to hear from you. Stop up there at that next truck stop, and if you will, and just stop up there at the next truck stop and send us one of them little old cards, a picture postcards or whatever, and we'd be glad if you'd do that. But it's always good to be with you here on the Trailblazer broadcast, and we're bringing you a series of messages now on the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's our theme. That's our thought for this time. And we're looking there at the church at Pergamos. Yes, we're looking at the church at Pergamos, and We saw there where Satan's throne was, and where we're speaking about how we believe that there's Satan has a throne here in New Orleans. I don't know for sure, but I believe he does. And so let's go back to our study there, and the Lord is speaking to that church. He says Satan's throne was in Pergamos. It was in a danger. And the danger that threatened that church was not a direct opposition under the cloak of religion, but it was a patronage. That is, getting the believer to tone down his message. That's what we're talking about in our last study, how that Satan intimidates the pastor here to tone down the message. Don't be so brash. Don't be so bold. And listen, when Satan can get the church to blunt her testimony, and that's what's happened today. Our pastors and teachers and leaders have compromised God's Word, and hardly anyone will stand up and take a stand for the truth anymore. No, because they're afraid of their job. I asked young preachers, I said, do you preach this and that and the other, the sovereignty of God? Oh, no, I can't do that. I'd lose my church. I said, I'd lose it. I'd pack my suitcase, sit down by my pulpit, preach hell off the cross, and tell them to pour it back in the jug and cork it and walk out. Listen, my friend, Christ said you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon. The devil lurks behind mammon. Mammon is the sum total of the fleshly life or worldly power, which is characterized by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. According to John 2:15, there is one word I wish that I could shout out around this world. I wish it would fall into the hearts of all who name the name of Christ, and that word is separation. Separation. The Scripture says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. I was speaking to someone recently about our assembly here, our church, First Baptist Church of Algiers. We are a peculiar people. We are oddballs because we don't partake of all the things that happen. I get invitations almost on a weekly basis. Come join a prayer group with mayor. Come to the prayer breakfast with the city council. Come over here. Come over there. Join this dance group. Send your young people. No, we don't do those things. No, man, and no, sir. It's separation. Separation, separation from the world. The Scripture says, come out from among them, according to Revelation 18:4. Separate yourself. The church is defeated today because of her love for the world, because she's married to the world, walks with the world, fashions herself after the world. That's where we stand today. The church, years ago, invited the world to come in to dwell, and now the church has moved in, the world has moved into the church, and the world controls the deacon board, the world controls the finance, the world controls the curriculum, what the pastor's going to preach. That's right. I see it on every hand and corner, my friend. Yet Christ says, as I look upon you, speaking to the people there at Pergamos, I see two things that I love. One is you hold fast my name, and secondly, you have not denied my faith. Now that was a blessed commendation. They still believed in the virgin birth of Christ. They still held that Christ is God, a very God. He is the Son of God. He is deity. And listen, they still held that salvation was in none other except in the name of Christ. Then he said, you have not denied my faith. Now I want to go back there and ask you, Pastor, can the Lord say that about your church? First, that you have not denied his name. Do you name the name of Christ, or is it sweet Jesus? My friend, I get so tired and so sick of hearing that little cliche, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. My friend, did you know Jesus didn't die for me? The Lord Jesus Christ died for me. And then, have you not denied the faith? Oh, listen, my friend, let me ask you this. Do you hold the fact that Christ was virgin born, that he is deity, that salvation is in none other except in the name of Jesus Christ? And then he said, you have not denied my faith. They still believe that Jesus is the author and finisher of faith, according to Hebrews 12:2. They still believe that saving faith is a gift of God. We don't hear much about that, do we? It's refreshing today to find one here and one there who know the Lord, who know Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, and to whom Christ is precious, who live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for them. It's grace to find one of those day by day. We have folks here. We have folks all over this nation who write me, email me, and tell me how the Lord saved them. Christ took great delight in these two great facts that he found in that church. But he also took note of his faithful witness, his faithful martyr, Antipas, who was slain among them where Satan dwelled. And listen, Christ seems here to have put a great emphasis on the fact of their loyalty to his person and his faith in that wicked city where Satan dwelt and had his throne. Did you know you can be a disciple of Christ, a witness of Christ, a servant of Christ in the most wicked city, the most wicked area that there ever has been? That's right, my friend. Listen. Now, let's go back. Here in the 14th verse, he says, I have something against you. Oh, listen. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that awful to have to say that? For me to have to read that. I have something against you. He says, you have members in that church that hold the doctrine of Balaam. If you take your Bibles and study the 22nd and 25th chapters of Numbers and Numbers 31:16, you will find the story of the prophet Balaam. The children of Israel had finally reached the land of Moab, and King Balak wanted a curse placed upon the children of Israel that they might be destroyed. So he sent for the prophet Balaam to come out and curse him, offering him a great sum of money. And God warned Balaam not to go, but the love of money. Oh, what a tragedy, my friend. The love of money is the root of all evil. Folks say money is the root of evil, but not so. No, it's the love of money, my friend. The love of money got the best of old Balaam. He went against God's will. Three times he tried to curse the children of Israel, but instead he blessed them. He finally told King Balak, God will not let me curse them. They are his elect. I must return home. But come and see me sometimes. And Balak did. And prophet Balaam, anxious to get that large sum of money, according to Numbers 31, told Balak how he could bring the wrath of God upon the children of Israel. Notice his wicked, diabolical suggestion. You get the women of Moab to invite the men of Israel even to commit fornication and adultery with them, and then you will bring down the wrath of God upon them and make God destroy his own people. Now, my friends, what a trickery. But men are so gullible. And old Balaam, he come up with that scheme. He said, you get your women and your men to mix with those, let them go in there and marry and live with and produce children with the heathen, with the idol worshippers. And the Lord will punish them. Now, my friend, everywhere I tell my folks, I've been bringing messages on disobeying the Word of God and disobedience of the children of God. And one of the things that the Lord has given me, that every time they disobeyed, coming out of the land of Egypt, they disobeyed, they suffered. They did. When they murmured and complained about no flesh, they suffered because the Lord sent the quails there and it just made them sick. And every time they suffered, the Lord punished them. And then when they married, folks asked me about intermarriage and all of those things, interracial marriages. And I just tell them, the Lord wants us to be pure and clean in our own race. I know what world we're facing today. I know that. And I know Satan's aim and purpose. I know those things. But listen, every time they walked out of God's will, they suffered. When they married the heathen, they suffered. They did. When those young men went over into those cities and married of the heathen worshipers, the idol worshipers, they suffered. And it's out of way now, my friend. We're seeing that happen exactly right now. But listen, he said, Balak took that suggestion from Balaam, and the men of Israel were invited to their religious feast. Oh, they put on a fado dough, so to speak, or a crawfish ball, and they began to invite those folks over there and commit fornication with the women of Moab. Here was the covenant people of God, God's chosen people under the protection of Jehovah. The Lord had taken them all of those years and had kept his hand upon them. And here they were entering into an unholy alliance with the women of Moab and their religion. The record says that a plague broke out. I want you to listen to this, young people. When you marry unequally yoked with an unsaved individual, listen now, listen. The record says that a plague broke out and 24,000 men died. 24,000. This is the doctrine of Balaam stated. You're saved. You're under a covenant of grace. Therefore, it doesn't matter how you live or what you do. You're going to be saved. Now, that's the doctrine of this day. Let's bring it down to our day. Now, you go on to the show. Go on to the picture show. Go on to the honky-tonk. You go there, and I'll go with you to church. Now, if you will come with me to the dance, I'll go to the church. As a preacher said one day, you know, I smoke with the men of my church, play card with them, and have a drink or two with them, that I may have more influence. Now, my friend, that's a doctrine of devil. That's a diabolical statement, if I ever did hear one of them. It's a doctrine of Balaam. Remember, this one great fact, sin, God hates sin. Sin will separate you from the presence of God, from the blessings of Christ. God will not condone sin in any shape, form, or fashion in the heart of his child or in his church. You cannot enjoy the presence of Christ and regard iniquity in your heart. You cannot know salvation with his blessings and enjoy the pleasures of sin at the same time. There must come a separation. False doctrine leads to wrong living, my friend. Now, I'll stake my eternal destiny on this statement that you cannot do it. God's child cannot mingle with them. Oh, I'm not saying that you look down your nose at anyone. No. The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. I've been thrown into those places, my friend. It didn't influence me. You know what it does? Makes my heart ache for them. I see men now doing things I read about in the paper, so-called church leaders and those things, and my heart goes out to them. But I wish I could speak to them, but I can't unless they hear this broadcast. I hope you'll take heart, my friend, and look to the Lord. Would you do that? Ask the Lord to lead you and guide you. Well, goodbye, and God bless you.